I prepare. I'm learning Hebrew, you know, train myself, you know, from YouTube, I learn Hebrew, you know, so I'm waiting to go, really want to go. Today, we're going to talk about this very important topic. It's called From Shame to Glory, all right? This is a very difficult topic to talk about, and God has been preparing all my life to talk about this, actually. And actually, I'm going to write a book on this. Yeah, actually, I'm going to take sabbatical and take time to write about it because, you know, even I got very good degrees. You know, I got a PhD in computer science. You know, I go to the startup. I got, you know, making good money and a good position. And later on, I quit my job and I become a pastor, right? So it's like people look at me and say, oh, David, you are, you know, somebody. But you know what? Deep inside, I always get grasped by shame. Yeah, I always feel like I'm not good enough. I'm inadequate. You know, I'm an English pastor in my church, but you know, when I go there and when I preach, I feel like they don't like me. I'm too old. My English is not good enough. You know, I'm not relevant. Whatever, whatever. There's all kind of accusation. The enemy, always, always. And you know what? It doesn't matter how smart you are. It doesn't matter how handsome you are. When the enemy comes, when accusation comes, and when you believe, that's you are just down under. You are like you become a slave. It really doesn't matter, you know, how wonderful, how beautiful, how wise you are. What it is. Who do you believe? Whose word do you believe? That determines whether you receive glory or you receive shame. Do we need to teach our kids about shame? No, we don't need to. You know, my daughter, when she's 2 years old, she learned about shame by herself. You know what happened? She was, we were in this, you know, Halloween, right? They have candy, free candies, right? Right? And my daughter, you know, we take her, that before we become Christian, you know, we take her to the Halloween and she's dressed like a princess and then she got a whole bag of candy, right? And then we were telling her, you know, just like, you can eat one or two, but don't eat too many, okay? And then my wife, she's a piano teacher. So one day, and while my wife, she's teaching the piano, my daughter, Melody, she take a whole bag of all the candy, hiding under the piano, and she ate them all. And then when we were looking for her, you know, and we're like, Melody, and she's like, she's quiet, she doesn't say anything. And then when we find her, she's like, under the piano, and all the wraps, like, what did you do? You know, she know what's wrong. She know what's right and wrong. And she know that she's doing something wrong, but she's like, she couldn't resist them in the temptation. Don't think it's Adam and Eve, they fall into temptation. We fall into temptation all the time. And we know what's right and wrong. Right? And let me ask you this. Is it easy to come up from shame? Is it easy to come up from shame? It's not easy, right? It actually, you know what? We Christian, we think that, you know, when we preach the gospel, we go out and evangelize to people. We used to tell people that you are a sinner. You know, you need to repent of your sin, you know. And people, you know, including me, myself, I say, I'm not a sinner. I don't, you know, because actually in Chinese, it's harder. Because the word sin and crime in Chinese, it's the same word, zui. When you say you are a sinner, it's like you are a criminal. No, I'm not. I don't kill. I don't, you know, I don't do these things, you know, bad things. I'm not a criminal, right? So it's like, how do you tell people? And then one day I met this a pastor that, you know, I admire him. He has such a wide knowledge and very gentle English pastor. And then he showed me a track, a gospel track. He put it in his pocket all the time, and he showed it to me. And what it says, he says that, you know, God loves us so much. And he wanted to be with us all the time. But because we always, you know, human being, we do things that we are ashamed of. We are ashamed of. And therefore, we cut ourselves from the love of God. And Jesus come, and he's coming here to remove our shame. He wanted to take away the shame so that God can have intimate relationship with us. And when I was reading that, I was shocked, really. Because I never thought of that. I was like, I need to convince people that they are sinners. When the pastor, 20 years ago, when my pastor, you know, first time, he's like sharing the gospel with me. He come to my home, he tell me that you are a sinner. I was like, no, I'm not. And then, you know, and we start debating and arguing, you know. And he said, Jesus come and die for you. I said, why? Why I need somebody to die for me? You know, I'm not even a sinner. You know, even if I sin, you know, I don't deserve to die. So why does Jesus have to die to save me? You know, but the problem is, it's a shame. You know, to forgive our sin, let me tell you something. Jesus died, right? We all know the story. Jesus died on the cross. He died for our sin. So we are, our sin is done with. You know that? Our sin has been done with. I mean, we are justified. Can everybody say, we are justified? What does that mean? That means that your sin is not going to be counted against you on the day of judgment. On the day of judgment, your sin is not going to be accounted. Even when the devil come and say, oh, David did this, David did that. And I would look at Jesus and Jesus say, wait a minute. I shed my blood for him. His sin has been done. All right? But the problem is, you know, logically, you know, we know our sin has been dealt with. But how many of you really come out from the shame? Let me tell you, even as a pastor, from time to time when the enemy come and accuse me, the shame just like cover me on my face like so easily because I believe the lies from the enemy. And you know what? When you are afraid, when you're like, oh no, I don't want to do this. I don't want to speak before people. You know, I couldn't do this ministry because I'm not good enough. You know? You know what that is? That's fear, right? You know, where does the fear come from? You're afraid you won't be good enough to impress people. Right? The root of fear is still shame. Do you know that? You know, Adam and Eve, why do they hide? They are naked. Who told them they are naked? Why are they naked? You know what the Bible said? In the last verse in the Genesis chapter 2, they were naked and not ashamed. Do you know that? The Bible said they were naked, but they're not ashamed. They don't need to be ashamed. You know, where's the shame come from? Let me ask you this. You know, if you are short, or if your nose is like, how do you say that? Flat nose, right? And you are dark skin, you know. But if you grow up in the, like, Amazon village, whatever, okay? You're tribal. And the whole group of people are like that. Will you be ashamed? Do you need to feel ashamed? My mom's nose just like mine. My dad, I have my dad's nose. Why should I be ashamed? Right? But one day, you know, maybe some white people come and, you know, with all this nice dress and nice car, iPhone, whatever, and then, like, they show you, you know, this is the standard of the world, what is beauty is, what is, you know, these things are. And look at you, you know, and like, suddenly, like, wow, I should be ashamed? Should we be ashamed for who we are? For what we are, our skin color, our height, how we look, how we dress, you know? Even me, I mean, I'm turning 60 years this year, okay? All my friends in the world, They are wealthy. You know, I'm from Taida, Taiwan University, you know. And when I go back to Taiwan, you know, people comparing, you know, what kind of car you're driving, what kind of house you have. Should I be ashamed? Right? No. Right? But there are people who are ashamed. Why? Because of comparison, right? We feel ashamed because when we compare. But where does the shame come from? Honestly, we shouldn't be ashamed of who we are. But, you know, human being, where does the shame come from? The shame come from? It's when Adam and Eve, when they disobeyed God, and suddenly, you know, the Bible said they were naked, but they were not ashamed. Because you know what? They were not really naked. They were covered by the glory of God. They were shining. They were like Jesus. You know, remember the transfiguration that Jesus on the mountain? That his whole body was shining like a sun. If your whole body is shining like a sun, you don't need to wear, you don't need to wear anything. Right? That's glory. You know, clothes. These clothes doesn't give us glory. I mean, I know I wear a suit today. My glory is not because of this, all right? I mean, the real shame is I cannot be covered by this. You understand? You know, the first thing the human being try to cover their body, try to cover their shame or their nakedness is by doing what? They finding the fig leaves. Fig leaves. How many of you seen figs, fig trees? How big is the fig leaf? Ah, big, bigger than my palm, right? And they're using these leaves to cover their body. I have fig trees in my house. Let me tell you something, okay? The fig leaves, if you unplug the fig leaves, they come out with this white sap, right? And if they touch your skin, it's very itchy. Can you imagine that you try to cover your nakedness with fig leaves and the saps all over you, and the area you want to cover are the most sensitive part of your body? Okay, it's okay. I don't want to perform. You got it. The more you try to cover your shame, the more shameful you become. Do you get it? So is it easy to get rid of our shame? It's not easy. It takes thousands of years. God has a plan. God has a plan to remove the shame from the human being. And the cost is everything to God. You understand? You know, for God to forgive us, it's easy, right? Right? For God to forgive us is easy. I mean, he could just say, he could have been in the Garden of Eden and when they eat from the tree and they said, do you know you're wrong? Yeah, we know we are wrong. Okay, I'll forgive you. Done. Is that good? How many of you think that's good? God would just forgive Adam and Eve right there, right?
Very good.
Yeah. Now, here's the problem. The problem is, it's not just forgive. It's about the shame. It's about a shame. Because what they did, they were hiding. It's not just like, okay, you know, my daughter, you know, if she like taking the a bowl from the kitchen to the dining room, and then she walk, and then she strip, and then she fell, and then boom, right? As a father, can I forgive her right there? Yes, I can forgive her. But you know what? If she, what she does is, when she break it, she knows she's wrong or she's not careful, whatever, and then she run. And she hide herself. And if I call her and say, Melody, come back. It's okay, I forgive you. It's not your fault. It's a snake's fault. He shouldn't be like, you know, these things. The problem is not just forgiving. The problem is that she already believed I am very severe. I'm very strict, angry. I'm an angry father. She believed that and she feel like she's not good enough for me. She knows she's wrong. And then she's hiding from me. And that is the problem. The problem is not whether I will forgive her. The problem is she already believed the lies from the enemy. How do you wash the lies? You know what the lies from the enemy is? You know what the snake said to the woman? The snake said to the woman is, let me tell you, God has something better he doesn't want to give you. There's this tree. Why God told you not to eat it? Because he knows if you eat it, you will be as smart as he is, as wise as he is. You will see things that you don't see before. You are not like God. Even though God says that I made you in my image, in my likeness and in my image. But no. He has something better he doesn't want you to have. If you believe that, how can I take it away from what you already believed? Even if I forgive you. You understand? You already believe that God is not good enough because he's keeping something from me. So even if you take it and God says, oh, I forgive you, but you already believe the enemy. You believe that God is not a good God. He's not good enough because he's keeping the best from me. And will take everything from God. God has to send his son Jesus to die. To die. And then you can truly believe. You know, my daughter, everybody knows she's singing, right? And when she was, 12 years old, and she started writing her first song, all right? And then for the children conference, she wrote a song, I Know Who I Am, you know? And supposedly, like, she got revelation, right? She wrote a song, right? And then we say, oh, wonderful, why don't you record it? And then she recorded it, and she sing it, you know, I know who I am. I sit at King Jesus' right hand, I know who I am. I'm the one who is loved by the king. And she wrote the lyrics, and then we record her. And then we played it on our home entertainment system, you know, sound system. And we played it out, and that's almost like the first time she heard her voice from the sound system. And you know what she did? She heard it, and she started saying, turn it off, turn it off! It's terrible, it's terrible! She's hysteric. She's like, I didn't know I sound like that terrible. Because she's comparing herself to her mom. Her mom is almost like a professional singer. And she's like, wow, that's how terrible my sound is, you know. And how can we convince her that, you know, God made you not in, I mean, you will have that voice. You will when you mature. Right? But if she was so shameful of herself and she shut down, she could have shut down and she never sinned again. Right? It's not just about forgiving, you understand? It's about who you believe. When you believe the enemy, it's hard. It would even take God to come and say, God will come and say, I'll die for you. Can you believe I really love you and love you to the point I would die for you? Let me tell you something. It takes everything. It takes thousands of years for God to prepare the salvation, the process of salvation, to remove our shame. To remove our shame. It's no longer just sin. But it's a shame that God wants us to remove. Can you imagine how free you will be, how glorious you will be, how passionate you will be if there's no shame? If you don't, you can live without shame. It's different. Shameless and without shame are different. You understand, right? Like priceless is not the same as no value. You understand, right? Live without shame. Come out from the shame. That's the bondage that God wants to set us free. For some people, you can be a Christian for 20, 30 years and still you live in shame like me. That's why I want to write a book. I really want to really write, you know, how this shame thing that, you know, being like crippling me for the past several years, even though I'm a pastor. Because, you know, I constantly bombarded with all these thoughts. Because a month ago, I told my wife this thing. You know, I asked her this phrase, wonang, in Chinese, wonang. Wonang means that you are useless. You are powerless. You are worthless. And the thing is that voice speaking in my heart, like, 你是一个窝囊废, you are useless garbage. That word is playing in my head like a record. Yeah, every time there's something I did wrong, I did bad, and the voice just come and say, you are 窝囊, you are useless. I didn't say it, but this voice just played in my heart, and I believe it. And then just like a month ago, I asked my wife, I says, did I ever use that word? Did I tell you that? And she said, no. You know, we've been married for 30 years. You never say that word. But then I said, you know what? That word is playing in my head against myself. And I believe that. And she said, you need some healing. And let me tell you, I'm so afraid of all these kind of inner healing, all these prophets, you know, when they come to town, when they come to my church, when they need somebody to do, you know, demon and are they going to do ministry? And I'm the one who, like, at the very end of the line or even hour, I don't show up. I don't want to. I don't want to face this problem. There are so many things in my life I don't want to put into the light. I would rather just, you know, put it under the rocks. I don't want to expose it. I don't want to talk about it. These are the shameful things. But the thing is, you know, you really look at the Bible, the whole Bible. When you read the Bible, this is a new paradigm I want to show you. It's a new paradigm. When you read the Bible, read it in a way, actually God wants you to learn how to get rid of your shame. Get rid of your shame. How? You know, and when I had this revelation, that's why I want to write a book. It's because you really look at all the stories of the Bible, like King David. Wow, he wrote Psalm 51. What did he do? He's like, this is my sin. I committed adultery. Okay, I'm going to write a song, a psalm, and everybody will sing about it. When they sing it, they know, I'm this kind of person. I'm not the king they look up to. I'm a sinner. I'm an adulterer. I'm the murderer. And when everybody sing about it, it's like, and that become his glory. The whole Bible is really filled with paradox, if you know what that word mean. How do you say that in Chinese? Paradox. Anyway, you know what they mean, okay? It's hard to translate. But what it is, you know, something that you don't think it will work, but it actually works. Like Jesus. Jesus says that if you want to keep your life, you will lose your life. All right? If you are willing to lose your life, then you will gain life. That is a paradox. Do you understand? Something is totally opposite to your logic thinking. When you are willing to face up to the most shameful thing in your life, let me tell you, that may be the most glorious thing in your life. You know, I'm going to take a sabbatical for a couple months. I'm going back to Taiwan. I'm going to serve my mom. You know, my mom, she's turning 80 years old this year. And she's actually active and she's healthy. Okay, it's not like, oh, she couldn't, you know. But the point is, my whole life I've been running away from home because of, you know, my parents, their relationship is not too good. And then I sort of were like, I feel like it's dysfunctional and, you know, my character and all these things. But now I feel like, hey, you know what? I need to deal with it. I want to go back home. And also, I want to deal with my brother, younger brother. You know, and I want to really face up to the problem. Deal with it. It's not a shameful thing anymore. You know, I wanted to face up to it. You know, anything that you, if you have addiction, if you have unforgiveness, you know, if you've been like rejected, things that you are ashamed of, face it. Deal with it. It might be the most glorious thing in your life. You know what? What is the most shameful thing that Peter did? Deny Jesus. How many times that story was recorded in the gospel? 4 times. There are only 4 gospels. And that story is recorded 4 times. Why? Because Peter loved to talk about it. You know, he talked about his shame. I denied Jesus. I denied Jesus, and yet he loved me so much. You know, my daughter, I love to use my daughter's story. When she was 7 years old, one day she come home, and she running into the door, and she says, Mom, I denied Jesus today. I denied Jesus. And we were like, you're 7 years old. What are you talking about? She said, she took the school bus home, and then you know, somebody sitting next to her and showing her all these Barbie doll or something, you know, all these things, you know, and then she was like, no, I don't pray with these things. And the person next to her saying, you're not a Christian, are you? Did you get that? And suddenly, you know, this is like to a 7-year-old, this is a very big peer pressure. And she's just saying, no, I'm not. And then she just like stopped the conversation right there. And when she come home, she like running into the door. Mom, I denied Jesus. But she knows it's a shame. It's a shameful thing. She knows. Because Jesus said, if you deny me in front of people, then I'll deny you. But God is graceful. God is graceful. He wants us to come boldly before him. You know, the word in the Old Testament, it says they are naked but without shame. In the New Testament, the translation in the New Testament is you can come boldly before God. You know, what is our final identity as a Christian? Are we the servant of God? Are we the army of God? Are we the friend of God? Or are we the sons of God? Let me tell you, we are the bride of God. You understand? We are bride of Christ. The most glorious moment in your life, how many of you married? Right? Is that a most glorious moment? You put on the white gown, right? You are in front of a mirror. You want the most, you know, spotlight. You want everybody's attention. Can you imagine, if you are shameful on that day, what would it look like? Like you are like, no, I'm not good enough. No, I'm not going to wear that dress. No. Whatever. You know, when your bridegroom is right there, you know, on the other side of the red carpet and waiting for the bride to come in, and she was like, no, I'm not beautiful enough for him. No. He despised me. I'm not good enough. That's like, the bridegroom will be like, what? What happened? Right? When you are bride, when it dun, 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 when it, you know, and everybody stand up, right? Everybody applaud, right? Wow, this is a beautiful bride. And then look at Jesus and say, Jesus, you have such a good taste. She's just like you. She's just like you. That's the most glorious moment, not only for you, but also for Jesus. You understand? And our whole life is preparing for that day. You understand? Being a Christian, You are not just, you know, just not your sin being done with. No, your whole shame thing need to be done with. If you still feel like you are not good enough, you couldn't do this and you couldn't do that, or, you know, there's a lot of opportunities that we just give up. Why? Because of shame. Because of lies from the enemy. The enemy tell you that you're not good enough. You couldn't accomplish anything. and then you believe, it, and it's gone. I'm actually going to show you some Chinese characters. You know, we have some young people here. I really love to teach you Chinese characters. The word shame. How many of you know how to write that in Chinese? Raise your hand. Let me show you. The word shame word for shame, right? All right? How many of you know how to write this in the Oracle characters? And what's the original meaning for this word? Original meaning, shame. You know, Chinese people, we actually know, somehow, we know the Eden story. There's a lot of Chinese characters are hiding these stories. Okay, so let me show you, you know, the oracles. Okay, it's called the Jia Gu Wen. The ancient Chinese, the priest, they write the characters on the turtle shell, all right, for prediction, you know, or for like, they're asking God and God will show them this and that, all right? So, let me write the ancient Chinese character, like, you know, I'll just write something for you to guess what that is, okay? What is this? What is this word? The sun. Okay, all right? And then this is Yue. That's the moon. All right? So actually, if we put the sun and the moon together, that's Ming, that's brightness, right? That's light, okay? So I'll just do a few more, like this word. What is that? Water, right? Water. And so that's today, we wrote it this way. Right? And then I'll just write one more. It's like, what is that? Mountain. All right? That's today. That's a sun mountain. All right? So these are like, you know, like a calligraphy, the ancient Chinese. So what is this? What is that? Goat head, yang. Okay, so this is a goat head, yang. All right, and then can you guess what that is? This one here. So, very good. Your hand. All right, your hand. So, the ancient Chinese, when they try to describe what is shame, all right, very interesting. The Chinese, they write it this way. They write the goat head, and then put your hand over the goat. That word is shame. And that transformed into this today. That's how we write it. That's how we write it today. Shou chi, the shou. Okay? But the original writing in the oracle character is your hand. Lay your hand over the head of a goat. And where does it come from? Huh? Scapegoat. Very good. 代罪羔羊, scapegoat. That's in the, I'll just read it, or if you can, you know, put it up, and it's in the Leviticus 4. All right? Leviticus 4, 22 to 24. I'll read it to you. If someone is doing intentionally anything that's wrong, that the Lord God says, don't do it, but you did it, and you realize he's guilty, then he would need to bring as an offering a goat, a male without blemish, and he shall lay his hand on the head of the goat and kill it. Okay, and burn offering before the Lord, and it's called sin offering. That, you know, Chinese character is wonderful. One character, one word, describe the whole thing here. If you know you did something wrong, bring a goat. So the question is, why is the goat has anything to do with my sin? And can a scapegoat replace my sin isn't anymore. I'm a human being. What is this the Bible talk about, this Old Testament? Well, what the Bible say is, whatever is in the Old Testament, it's just a shadow. It's not a real thing. The substance is accomplished in Christ. Jesus Christ is the real goat. He's the real lamb. He's the Son of God. And he come, he died for you to show you how much he loved you. Lay hand on the goat. It looks like a simple thing, right? Is it easy to do? Let me tell you, is it easy to lay hand on a goat, even for the Old Testament people? First of all, you need to admit that you did something wrong. If you don't want to admit you did something wrong, you're not going to do it. It takes a lot of humility, right? It takes a lot of humility to come before God and say, God, I'm wrong. I'm sorry. And God says, don't worry about it. I got a solution for you. Bring a goat and kill it. Lay hand on the goat and say a prayer and then kill it. You know what? The Bible actually says, who killed the lamb? It's not the priest. Do you know that? You killed it. Yeah. The priest would do the sacrifice. The priest would do the offering, the burnt offering, all right? But you are the one who actually slit the throat. You need to do that yourself. I have done that. But when I go to, we went to Kyrgyzstan. We did, and when we bring a, which it's not really for the sin offering, but I get to slit the goat and watch the goat die and the blood, you know. And they actually want you to take the blood, you know, and you're not allowed to eat the blood. All right, that's called kosher. You know, the Jewish people, they're kosher. They have to let all the blood dry, the process. And when you watch that and you know, wow, and we actually pray from the Isaiah 53 when we kill the lamb, you know. We were reciting from Isaiah 53. Yeah, we were like this lamb. We are the one who go astray. And then this lamb would die for my sin. But we know that this lamb actually is Jesus. He replaced me. Instead of me, instead of my throat get slit, instead of me get put on the cross, it's Jesus himself. To remove the shame. Let me give you one more example. Remember that when Jesus was on the cross, there were two robbers next to him. Right? One is actually still mocking Jesus. Can you believe that? Like, if you are the Messiah, save yourself and save us. Well, is he really looking for Jesus to save him when he said that? You know, even though he's saying it, if you are the Messiah, save yourself and save us. But the way he said it, it's not like he's really believing, you understand? So he's not really looking for help, even though he's dying on his last breath. There are some people tell me that, oh, you know what, I'll believe Jesus before I die. I don't need to do that right now. I'll confess my sin before I die. Let me tell you, maybe not. Maybe not. You will be actually the wrong side of the robber. There are two of them, but one of them is like still mocking God on his last breath. But there's another one. There's another one. He says, Jesus, remember me. Remember me. When you receive your kingdom, you know, and he said, and he was actually telling the other robber and says, we are sinners. We deserve what we did. You and I are put here because of what we did. But this man, he's righteous. Even though he may not understand what's really going on, but he actually says that, Jesus, remember me. And you know what Jesus says? in Hebrew, he says, Amen, Amen, Ani Amelecha. Amen. Let me tell you the truth. Let me tell you the truth. Today, you and I, we will be in a garden. You and I will be in a paradise. You know the word, he says, paradise, it's actually in Hebrew, it's the garden. We will be back to the Garden of Eden. We will be back to the place where there's no shame anymore. I want to see you face to face without shame. Look at you. You know, that robber, his whole life, it's disastrous. It's failure. Right? On that day, he got exposed totally naked with Jesus. You know, it's the shameful thing is that all your sins are exposed before men. You are totally naked. There's no covering, whatever. And you are punished for whatever you're doing. Right? And when he said, Jesus, remember me, just that one word, he said, and then when Jesus says, let me tell you the truth tonight, you will be with me in the paradise. You will be with me. We will go back to the Garden of Eden. We will be back to that place where it's you and I, face to face without shame. Let's just imagine a little bit what it's like. If you are the robber on the cross, when you hear that, what does it feel like to you? Let me tell you. I've been meditating on this. I'll be like, really? Really? I'm forgiven? I don't need to feel shame anymore? Jesus, you love me? Father God, you love me? I get the honor to die with the Son of God? This is the most glorious thing ever. Can you imagine? Jesus was put on a cross naked. And I got the honor to be stripped naked and be with him and die with him on the same day. And you know what? He got the honor to be the first one who got saved ever. Because Jesus said today. And one thing. You know, usually when you get put on the cross, you don't die on that day. It takes 3-4 days to die. Do you know that? But Jesus prophesied today. Why? Because in a few hours or maybe minutes, the legs will be broken. Because that day was a Sabbath. It's a high festival day. So they want to kill them before the Sabbath. He probably didn't know that, all right? But Jesus prophesied, but today you will be with me. But let me tell you, even though the whole body was aching, you understand? The whole physical thing, the agony, the pain, it's like almost unbearable. But at that moment, that joy come into his heart. Like, wow, Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. I believe that you're going to receive your kingdom. And I have the honor to go with you. What a joy, what a glory. The most shameful moment in your life turned into the most glorious thing. But you know what? From the people down there, from everybody else, the situation never changed. He's still there. He's still painful. The agony is still there. Pain is still there. He's still breathing. He's still dying. He probably in a few hours, he's going to die. But at that moment in his heart, he knows this is the most glorious moment ever, ever, ever. Even a human being, the highest glory the human being can enjoy is to get put on a cross and get displayed totally naked with Jesus. And let me tell you something. How does a shame turn into glory? It depends on who you believe. You understand? The whole situation. If you look at the picture of the cross, the two robbers, and then get put on the cross with Jesus, you look at that and say, what kind of glory is that? You know, Jesus actually looked at his crucifixion as glory. Do you understand? You know, in John 17, what Jesus said, Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son so your Son can glorify you. The moment is coming. I will be glorified. What are you talking about? You're going to be totally naked. You're going to get spit on. You're going to be beaten. What kind of glory is that? No. Jesus never looked at it as a shame. You know, people can shame you, but you don't need to receive the shame. You understand? If you know what you're doing, right? People try their best to shame Jesus. But is he shamed? No. He says, this is my glory. This is my glory when I get lifted high and people will come. And he's looking down and says, for thousands of years, there will be people coming to me. This is my day of glory. But not just Jesus, but the one, the robber next to him, he received glory too. Not both of them, just one. The other one died in his shame. The other one died in his sin. And in his shame, in his unbelief. And this one, just because he confessed his belief, his shame turned into glory. Because all his life, he didn't know there is a lamb prepared for him. All he has to do is to put his hand over the head of the goat, and his shame is done with. The most shameful moment in your life becomes the most glorious moment. It may take God thousands of years to do, but for that robber, it's just a moment of truth. The truth shall set you free. If you choose not to believe the enemy's accusation anymore, if you believe that you can actually forgive, you don't need to feel ashamed of your IQ or your look, your identity, anything. You know, God gave you your father, your mother, your Chinese, your, you know, whatever. It's nothing to be ashamed of. Because that's, God made you in his image, in his likeness. And he's proud of you. You know, can you imagine if my daughter come home and said, Dad, my nose is too flat. I'm ashamed of my nose. I want to do something about my nose. Do I feel glory? No. You know, you have the most beautiful nose like mine. Why? I'm not ashamed of it. Why are you ashamed of it? Oh, but comparing to, you know, Grace Kelly, or comparing to somebody, you know, I'm not good. No, you don't need to compare. You are made in the image of God. All that matters is whose word are you believing? Whose word are you believing? Once you believe the truth, that's the most glorious moment in your life. That's the most glorious. But let me tell you, I mean, still, it's not an easy thing. Even for me, like I said, again and again, even for me, I have to constantly tell myself, no, I don't want to be ashamed. You know, when I get offended, when I want to get angry, you know, I'll tell myself, I says, hey, the Bible says that forgiving others is my glory. Right? In the Proverbs, you know, yeah, forgiving other people is your glory. If you learn to forgive, then you receive glory. And I will just keep constantly telling God and says, God, give me glory. Even though I know it's hard, I cannot, but help me. And then I humble myself and I ask the Holy Spirit to help me. I ask God. And whenever there are times that I want to feel like, oh, I'm not good enough. Oh, they don't like me. You know, there are all kinds of accusations come. And I'll say, no, enemy, go behind me. I'm made in the image of God. You know, when I'm praying for people, like, you know, if I see somebody like, you know, walking and painful or something, and I pray for people, and the enemy will say, who do you think you are? You can pray for people. You can, oh, the lame can walk, the blind can see. Who do you think you are? And I'll say, get behind me, Satan. I'm the son of God. I'm a son of God. You know, if God says I can pray for people, and if God says miracle can happen, I believe it. Then you get rid of your shame. You know, when you feel like, oh, I cannot talk before people, I don't want to share the gospel, you know, they won't believe me, you know, and you say, get behind me, all this fear. You know, when love abounds, perfect love casts out what? Fear. Casts out fear. Why? You know, you ask God, say, God, I have trouble sharing gospel. I have this fear. And you just ask God, give me more love. Give me more of your love. They need to hear about Jesus. It's not about my faith. Even if they reject me, I don't need to feel rejected. I'm okay. But it's your love. Fill me with your love. So when I see somebody, when I wanted to share something with somebody, let me love them to the point that I can conquer my own shame. Amen? This is how you come out from shame to glory. Okay? And God wants us to prepare ourselves. The day is coming. Jesus is coming. The bridegroom is coming. He wanted to, you know, he wanted to receive this glorious bride. So it's not just a theology. Okay, today, what you hear today, it's not just some knowledge, some Chinese word. But you actually, every day, every moment, when the shame is coming like a drape or something, like a pads, it's like veil. Thank you. Very good. It's a veil like trying to attach to your face. Okay? You take it off. You take it off. Like, you know, in the book of Genesis, when Rebecca Isaac, right? She take off the veil, right? Right? She run into her bridegroom. We need to take off all the veil, that all the shame, the enemy trying to accuse you. Even the people, the fear of man, is the greatest veil. Once you learn and you practice that every day, you will be glorious and passionate, all right, and free. Amen. Let's pray. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Father God, continue to show us what kind of shame that has been covering us. We've been hiding behind so many years. There's the enemy using the shame to shame us so that we are living in the hiding. And therefore, there's so many weakness in our life, and there are even addictions, or we're running away from the intimate relationship with other people. We don't want to show our vulnerability to people. We feel like we are not good enough. We are inadequate. All these are lies. In Jesus' name, we break the lies. All these lies are the enemy. They try to limit us. They try to imprison us. And today, Father God, help us to come out, from all these veils of the shame. Pull it off. Help us and give us the wisdom. Give us the courage, yeah, to pull it off. Yeah, Father God, I pray for everyone here, sitting here, Father God. We wanted to get out of our shame, and we want to walk into the glory. We want to look to the day when Jesus comes, and he's the coming bridegroom. And we are the bride. We will be dressed in the white linen. We will be dressed in the most glorious gowns. Father God, you will put us, you will dress us, Father God. And there's no more shame on our face, Father God. Cleanse us, shame. Yeah, Father God, just like set us free. Your word will set us free. Thank you, Father God. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.